Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 15th, 2012, and it's the 15th, which means it's exactly the midway point through this month of June. There's 30 days in this month, and we thank God that we have this opportunity to share our lives with you and to encourage you to remember this Sunday is Father's Day, so appreciate those dads in your life and those men that maybe God has used to model godly characteristics into your everyday world. Thank those that you know, and if your father has passed away, you know, thank another man maybe in your life that's been influential or helpful and being that support around you or modeling godly characteristics to you or just helping you along the way. So let's remember our dads this weekend. And I have Pastor Jason Schiffo in the studio with me. And I should mention, Pastor Jason, I know we've been talking about Jude the last few weeks, and you're preaching Jude each and every Sunday. What time are your church services? Because, like, I have a practice. I go to the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy at their 8:15 service. Then I go to the Sunday school class. Then I zip over and hear you preach. But say somebody has, like, an early church time where they can come and hear you divide God's word, or they want to meet you or know more about the community, Evangelical Free Church. Tell us a little about the church.
Christian education begins at 9:30 in the morning. We have fresh coffee, so you come in and grab a cup of coffee. You go, and there's three Christian education programs running right now. First one is Following God's Word, so it's really just a practical application study of God's Word, and they go through books of the Bible. And the other group is studying the Sermon on the Mount, and then I lead you couldn't even call it a class. It's really just a discussion group, and we're reading the Bible chronologically. I mean, the only curriculum we have is the Bible, and the only guideline that we have for it is sitting down and saying, so, what did you read this week? And then we just discuss and wrestle what it is. And I'll tell you what, we could still be in Leviticus because there's so much to talk about and so much to wrestle about. And when you get, you know, four or five people or more in a room, the Bible is speaking to people in new and different ways. So you have five or so different conversations you could feasibly have. And then our church service kicks off at 10:45. Usually runs between 10:45, 11:45, 12, 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, depending on how things are going. And we'll be wrestling the book of Jude from now until roughly maybe the first week of August, and just see what this letter that Jude writes to the church has to say to us, the universal church.
And the Community Evangelical Free Church is located in Mahomet.
Yes.
On
102 West Riverbend Boulevard, right off of 47 as you leave town. What is that, south or?
Yeah, between 150 and Route 72, so it's kind of right in between.
I've only been here a year, so I'm still.
Yeah, your one-year anniversary is coming up.
Coming
it?
Up July 1st.
July 1st,
I
one
hope
year.
Somebody thinks that's cake-worthy.
And I should mention, those of you that maybe are unfamiliar with tuning in on Wednesday, Pastor Jason Schiffo has co-hosted the morning program with me. I don't know, I got to look at our official date, but it's probably been about 7 months now.
It's been a long time.
Shortly after you got to the church, I was asked to represent the radio ministry, and your church has faithfully supported our ministry for many, many years. And it was the Sunday where they asked me to come and share a little about the station. So as I was presenting, somebody said, you got to meet our new pastor. He's an old grocery store guy, so I'm sure you'll like him. And then after the service, when I found out that you were a grocery store manager for Jewel Food Stores, the very chain that I worked for 16 years, and then we started talking, and I said, hey, I want you to share with our radio listening family how an old grocery store guy such as yourself then became a pastor. And so we had you on the air about 7 or so months ago, and in the midst of our conversation, I kept thinking, I love this guy. I think he would be a great addition, take some of the pressure off of me having to come up with everything each and every day. And so after the program ended, I said, Jason, I need to pray this up and think about this, but I think you would be a great addition if you could carve out a little time, be a part of Mark and Friends. You said, it sounded pretty good to me, but let me pray about it. Let me talk to my congregation. Let me talk to my wife. Ran it by Tasha, and it seemed like then you got the green light. So thank you, God, for providing assistance to me each and every Wednesday. And then you've kind of, on a few different occasions, because we've had so much to share about the book of Jude, been on Tuesday and Wednesday. There's been another time or two when we, like, interviewed Dr. John MacArthur and some other special guests that you've been around. So I appreciate you carving out some time. And I know in light of Sunday being Dad's Day, and I was supposed to have John Fuller on, and because of scheduling and such, that didn't work out. And I hope to have John Fuller on in the coming days. He's a part of Focus on the Family. Any of you that tune into that program, hear John's voice each and every day. But I thought, hey, in light of you being available and you being a dad and you having a heart for the ways God works through men, maybe we could share a little about some pointers, some of the biblical truths, the mandates that God has for us as men, as we can model not only godly characteristics to the hurting world, but to our families.
Yeah, you know, I would start for us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. One of my favorite verses pertaining to men. And it says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart." And this is where I think for some men this becomes a miss.
Okay, read that one more time,
sure.
A little slower. I'm going to pull out my little notepad because we've not really rehearsed or talked about what we're going to say at all today.
We don't usually.
I know. So I got my little pen in hand, my little notepad out.
Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart." I use this a lot, like I was going to start to say, pertaining to men, because I run into a lot of men, and this, I don't want this show to be about browbeating men at all, but I run across a lot of men who are busy acting like boys still. They're still wrapped up in boyish things. They're still wrapped up in those evil desires of youth, those things that we want to do where we go like, you know, I just don't want to, you know, I run across men who go like, "I don't want to settle down yet." Well, why wouldn't you want to settle down? Because God's call in your life is to have a family and have a wife and to pour yourself and devote yourself to that. Why would you want to do that? Or I run across some men who are married and still have this idea in their head that they can make themselves available all over the place instead of to the one woman that God has called them to. And some of it, maybe they're just the evil desires of youth, the inability to handle money properly, the inability to handle what it is we want properly. You know, as a youthful child, I would always go, "Oh, I want that." You know, you'd run into the toy store and you'd grab the G.I. Joe or whatever it was. And you'd, "I want this. Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it?" And you know what? I've had many times in my adult life where I've saw something and gone, "Ooh, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it?" And that's one of those evil desires of youth. Because the Bible says here that I'm to pursue righteousness, faith. Now, righteousness means to be reckoned. So it means that God has judged you and reckoned you, and he's brought you into righteousness. So I'm to pursue righteousness, the reckoning and judgment of God, faith, which is my consistent standing upon the rock and my orientation to God, love, this agape love, this love that only God can provide and give and make. And then out of that, the scholars say this about this passage, that when you take righteousness, faith, and love and put them together, it equals peace. So somebody who pursues righteousness, faith, and love will have peace. When you do this, what do you do it with? Along with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. You know, I run into a lot of guys, and this is what happens. Is I say, "Hey, tell me who's in your life." And they go, "What do you mean?" "Well, tell me your friends." "Who are your friends?" And they go, I got a guy over here. Sometimes we go fishing. And I want to hear about your fishing, buddy. Tell me about your friend. Tell me about the person who, if I went up to, they could tell me about your last fight you had with your wife. They could tell me about your struggles. They could tell me about the joys and celebrations in your life. Who are those people? You know, I would tell you that in a sad commentary, about 80% of the guys I sit down with, and a lot of them pastors, don't have those people in their life. They don't have any friends. You know, think about it like a triangle. Think about it like a triangle with three sides. You have friends on one corner. On the top corner, you have this fleeing. That's what this verse says here, that we're fleeing the evil desires of youth. And then down on the other corner, put Jesus. Let's say it's following. So we have friends, fleeing, and following. Now, if we have those equal, if we're fleeing from something, because I'm telling you what, every single one of us is pursuing something and fleeing something else. Because if you're moving away from something towards something else, you're fleeing it. Are we all tracking? So there's nobody who's pursuing something and not fleeing something else.
Yeah, like that, kind of like you're on an uphill climb. You're either climbing up towards God or you're backtracking or sliding down towards evil or away from God. There's no, you don't, because it's on a steep incline, there's no point where you just can rest and remain. You're either falling back or pursuing and being intentional to follow God.
Exactly. And so I love the picture of the triangle because we know that the triangle is one of the strongest structures known to man. If all sides are equilateral, it's the strongest structure that we know to man. We use it in relationships to talk about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We use this triangle to show that. So we have our friends over here, and we have our fleeing over here, and we have our following over here. All of us, we could say, who are following Jesus would say, oh yeah, I'm following Jesus. You bet. You bet. So we got that corner covered. And all of us are pursuing something and fleeing something else, whether it be good or bad. So we got that one covered. But if we don't have the friends on the other side, minus take that side of the triangle off and it falls in on itself. You can be fleeing something and trying to follow Jesus, but if you don't have any friends there, you're going to be in a sorry, you're going to be in a sorry state. You're going to be in trouble. You know, I have a practice in my life, and it's a practice that I share with men. And I call it the 3-up, 2-down rule. That at any time, you should be able to come to me, or I should be able to come to you, and I should say, give me your 3-up, give me your 2-down. And you should be able to tell me 3 men who are older than you who are helping you to follow Jesus, and 2 men who are younger than you who are you are helping to follow Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means that when I come into a roadblock, I come into a place where I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? That I can call one of those 3 guys who have been there and done that. And those guys can give me wisdom. They can go, oh man, you remember back in 1971, that same exact thing happened to me. There was this, you know, cute girl, and she started trying to, you know, then you didn't have email, but she would call me, and I had to cut it off. This is how I handled it. Thank you so much. And then I have 2 down. I have these people down below, and we have a new youth pastor at our church, Matt. Matt has been one of my 2 down people. That's somebody who, when I screw up, I call him. And I say, you know what? I really screwed up. I want to share it with you. You know why I share it with him? Because I don't want him to fall into the same holes. And do you realize, too, that this is a holistic way of following Jesus? That I have people in my life, senior saints, I would consider Mark to be one of these people, too, honestly, who are above me, who speak life into me and wisdom into me, and that makes them feel viable as they're following Jesus in a disciple-making relationship. Now, I'm right here in the middle, and then I am also feeding somebody else who's younger than me. So we're kind of covering all these bases here in how we be men and follow Jesus together. You know, pursuing righteousness, faith, love, so that we can have peace along with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. And it's important that we have these people in this place. Now, what's interesting, and if you tuned in earlier in the week to the show on Wednesday, we talked about Jude, and we talked about hearing and listening and to the Holy Spirit. You know what? Not everybody fits into the category of the people who you're going to pursue this with. And you need to, maybe when you're in a room, you need to say, Jesus, is there anybody in this room who will help me be a better man, who will help me follow you closer, who will help me live a more vibrant life, who I can share my life with? Because I'm going to tell you what, those people who are above me, my 3-up and my 2-down people, they can tell you a lot of things about my life that most of all of us would feel is very uncomfortable. That kid, Matt, he can tell you what my finances probably look like because we discuss that because I want to help him to handle money better, better than I have done it. I want to help him not to have to ever think about, wow, how do I pay off a credit card? You don't have to worry about how you don't pay it off because you don't have one. And help him figure out what that looks like and what it means to buy a car with cash so that when you hand over the money, you get the title and you don't owe anybody anything. You know, and then also, when I go, man, you know, I'm really jonesing for this, or I'm really thinking about this, that somebody above me can speak life into me. And you know what? That makes their story viable. Because it was a really interesting thing. I had a period of my life where I was really struggling with something. And it wasn't something dangerous or destructive to my life, but I was struggling with this. And an older gentleman who's one of my 3 spoke life into me. And he spoke wisdom into me about how he dealt with almost the same kind of situation. And about 2 months later, we sat down and we had coffee, and you know what he told me? He said, you made me feel like my life had such worth, that where I had been mattered today. That thing that happened to me 15 years ago, God used it again today. It wasn't the past, it wasn't gone, it wasn't over there. Today again, God used my story and something I struggle with to help you not to struggle.
You know, I'm thinking about your transparency with Matt, a younger man that you're building life into, and also by you sharing some of your struggles or failures or where you've maybe messed up. it's also helping him to see and not to put you on a pedestal,
right,
like that you're free without sin, that you're this very capable pastor that's just doing a great ministry work in our area, that you're flawed, that you need help, that you need assistance. And so that helps him then become more transparent to other people when he fails. But what would you say to the senior saint, you know, because we have a lot of listeners that are maybe 70, 80, 90. And so is it an age when you think of the three up, two down, older or older in experience or wise? Or
I think it has to be older in age and experience. I don't think you divide the two, because somebody who's older in age is somebody who's older in experience. They've done more things. A lot of people go, oh, I've got people, they're my friends, they're here. No, they're in the same struggles and everything that you're in. That's a level playing field. Those people who are my friends, who are the same age as me, they're struggling with the same things I'm struggling with. They don't have any more wisdom than I have. Maybe they screwed that thing up, but they didn't have the maturation and time to go through it and reflect on it. I want somebody who has reflected on it, who has lived it, and then actually realized what it meant to go through it.
Well, I'm thinking somebody like my good friend Max Norman. He's 86, you know, senior saint, vibrant, excited. So is he looking for like 90-year-old guys to help speak truth into his life? Or what do you do with these senior saints that are on the tail end of their life, that are in their late 60s,
yeah, well,
80s, 90s?
I think you ask an interesting question, because when you get up to a certain age, I mean, you know, you can't sometimes get much older. But I think that, you know, you surround yourself with wise and good people, you know, people who have done maybe more than you. I want to be very cautious with guys my age, you know, 40, 30, who go, oh, I got a lot of great friends. I mean, I got a lot of great friends. And I'm like, yeah, but they're making the same dumb mistakes you make.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and to the senior saints, I want to say this. I read this about a year and a half ago, and it blew my mind, because I was ministering to a congregation of senior saints. The bulk of the congregation, 60 people, were in senior saint kind of bracket. And I preached a message that afterwards the guys are like, we needed to hear that. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. We all know what that means. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The Lord has renewed you as a senior saint inside over and over and over again. And though you might look like you're wasting away outside, you've got a mission. Because I need you in my life to speak wisdom and clarity and hope and joy and peace and righteousness, and help me pursue Jesus with your wisdom in the places that you've been and the things that you've seen. You know, you help me not to lose heart. Because the culture would say, though outwardly you're wasting away, go to Florida. You know, we got a place for people like you. It's called Florida. You go down there, you retire, you go to the villages, you just hang out, you ride the golf cart, that's all you do. No. Young guys like me, young guys like this youth pastor, our children, we need you. You know, the guys who are older in my life, who pour into my life, let me tell you what. You know who gets the splash? This is how I use the metaphor. It's like cups being poured water. When the senior saints pour into me, you know who gets the overflow and the splashes? My kids. The senior saints and those people who pour into my life, they make me a better father. I would not be as good a father as I am, and I got a lot of work to do, I'm going to tell you that now, but I would not be as good a father as I am if I did not have those senior saints in my life who correct and they rebuke me with gentle patience and love, who help me along the path. You know, we've got to have that, because if not, we're going to be a culture of boys. And you know what? When I look out there and I look at a lot of the fathers, I think I just read a statistic the other day that said this year now, for the first time ever, there will be more single moms than there are moms who give birth to married couples. So there are going to be more single moms in the hospital with newborn baby than there are mom and dad in the hospital celebrating newborn baby. We come into a cultural moment where to get dad's signature on the birth certificate is a win. And that is unacceptable. That is unacceptable. Because we're called to be men, not boys. And I don't want to beat any of you guys over the head. I want you to know that fatherhood is a beautiful and joyous, high calling. And I want each one of you to get excited, wildly excited, about the opportunities that you have to pour into your kids. Deuteronomy 6:4 says to impress it upon your children when you lie down, when you get up, when you go along the road. You want to know what a beautiful adventure it is? that I get to pour into my son, that I get to impress upon him who God is, what it means to live with character and with integrity, with love and joy and peace. I get to model that. My life was great before I met my wife and had my kids. My life is amazing now that I have my wife and my kids, and that I can be, you know, I look at God, the Abba Father, in a whole new light as I've become a father. And so today is on Father's Day. I know Mark said, hey, you know what, if there's these people in your life who have been father or been dad or your dad, or maybe your dad's passed away or whatever, however it is in your life, you know, and you want to just say, celebrate them and say happy Father's Day, I want you to take a moment on Sunday morning and celebrate the God of the universe who has, by invitation, asked you to call him Father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what an amazing thing. And you know what, and if you can, maybe take your dad to church on Sunday morning. Maybe both of you, maybe celebrate your dad with the dad of the universe, your father with the father of the universe, your father with God the Father. Because you're here because of the gift of God the Father through your father.
I'm thinking, I wrote down three examples of senior saints and how important they continue to be in our lives, fathering and displaying and demonstrating godly characteristics. But like Max Norman, I don't want his head to get really big, but at 86, what I love about him is he's still energized. And it's like, Lord, I want to finish well. I want to be like Max. He's still reading God's Word. He's reading books on grace, on character development. And then I think about some of the senior saints that still play racquetball, that are caring about their body, that are out on the racquetball courts. I know some people in their late 70s and 80s that are still exercising. It's like, Lord, I want to be like those senior saints. So thanks for these senior saints.
Yeah, when I was growing up, there was a gym teacher who used to say, I'd rather live 5 years like a lion than 10 years like a lamb. And I've always thought about that. I've always said, you know what, God, I want my life to count, so let me be a lion today. I think we read a book together. Well, I don't know if you read it. I've got to check up on
you. It's upstairs.
I got to check up on you, but it's by Mark Batterson. We interviewed him down in a pit with a lion on a snowy day.
Yeah.
Just to let it give some insight into my prayer life, that's one of the things I pray when I open my eyes in the morning before my head even lifts off the pillow. I say, God, let me be a lion today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think finally the Singing Men of GNN, because we have so many senior saints, older guys, and it's a ministry outlet for them to still stay engaged in singing and praising God and testifying to his goodness. So, oh, thank you, God, for our senior saints. Thank you, God, for the men that model your characteristics to this hurting world. Thank you, Father God, for being our almighty Father, our good God, our good Dad, that we can trust and worship and love. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and happy Father's Day, dads. Have a great Sunday. Oh, and let me also point out, Ron and Nancy Anger are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this weekend. Congratulations, guys. Ron's a great dad, too. Happy Father's Day, everyone.